Good morning and welcome to the Northeast Church of Christ. If you are with us in person in this auditorium, we thank you for taking the time to make the journey to this spot this day as we worship God together. We are grateful for this church and we are grateful for the people who make it such a great place to serve and worship. And for those of you who are joining online, we thank you as well. We are happy to announce this morning that we have another individual who wants to make Northeast her home congregation. And she is sitting right over there, Jamie Floyd. Raise your hand, Jamie. She has been attending Northeast for quite a while. Some of you have already had a chance to get to know her. But she is here on an assignment working, I forget what the company is, but I know she has some connections to Kroger and doesn't really know how long she's going to be here. She says it could be 2 months. I guess it could be 2 years, but however long it is, we are glad that you're here, glad you're a part of this congregation. She is a delightful person and loves the Lord, and we welcome her to Northeast. Today is what we might call Mission Sunday at Northeast, and it has come about, and there will be several other Sundays for the remainder of the year, to talk about our involvement in the work of sharing the good news of Jesus. And so you may have noticed already this morning that we have been singing songs related to that message. And today also the elders, in wanting to stress these things, four times a year when we have our contribution at certain days, and you can look in the bulletin and see what those days are, we will dedicate our entire contribution to our mission work, for outreach, for sharing Jesus, for serving the community, for sharing the gospel, and we feel like that's so very important. So we're asking everybody to think about that, pray about that as you give. And the entire, whether we collect above what our budget is for missions, all that money is going to go to missions, and we are happy about that. I couldn't help but I have to say this as well. I don't own anything orange either. I mean, I really don't. I try to avoid it personally. But I want you to think about this, about the hype related to the game. And I know many of us are excited about it. When I came to Northeast many, many years ago, I was not a Cincinnati fan. I did not know much about Cincinnati. People are excited about a team winning a game. But bottom line, let's not forget this. In 100 years, people will not know or care whether the Bengals played in the Super Bowl or won the Super Bowl today, okay? I just want to give us a little perspective, right? But in 100 years, it will matter. It will matter whether you know Christ. It will matter where you stand in your relationship to God. And so that's why, as excited as we are about the game, the Super Bowl, all the hype, we come together today to be reminded of the things that matter most. And in our reading this morning, taken from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, a church that was very special to the Apostle Paul, he writes them probably about 51 A.D., had been there doing mission work for a while and then eventually went to Corinth. And that's probably where he wrote this letter that he wrote to this church he cared about so, so much, and reminds them of who they are, what they have, and who they can continue to be in Jesus. But it all started in Acts chapter 17 when Paul and Silas and some of the others who were part of that missionary team, they went to Thessalonica. God had called them in a vision to that place. And we read about the results from the book of Acts. Some of the Jews were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, as did a large number of the God-fearing Greeks and quite a few prominent women. But other Jews were jealous, so they rounded up some bad characters from the marketplace, formed a mob, and started a riot in the city. Go to Acts chapter 17 to read a little bit more about what happened there. But it was not the kind of situation where everything was just, you know, rainbows and unicorns and everything was hunky-dory and happy and people were converted to Christ and it was all good. It wasn't that way at all. In fact, when Paul writes them, he says, you came to Jesus and you did what you did because you were convinced of the truth of the message that was spoken, and it impacted your life in such a way, even with the opposition that you faced. In fact, Paul and Silas and some of their companions had to leave Thessalonica in the dark of night when things got really, really bad in terms of persecution. So I don't know where you are personally in your story and how you came, if you're in Christ and you believe in Jesus, how you came to that point or how difficult it was. But I know some of you faced some great difficulties and challenges and pushback. Some of you have faced persecution because of your faith. And Paul is encouraging them to remember where they came from. And he says something about them right there in that passage. I mean, they were a motivated church. With all the difficulties they faced, the persecution and everything else, he says, we thank God for all of you. We talk to God about you in our prayers. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by your hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Fact is, we're not going to do what we need to do unless we're motivated to do what we're called to do. And that's what Paul is talking about here. This is a church that was motivated. It's a city, about 200,000 people, very prominent city in northern Greece. And Paul says to them, you're making a difference. You're doing things. You're working. You're laboring. You're enduring. You're doing something in your life that is a call to action, and you've responded to that call. We're not going to do it if we're not motivated. If we love God, we're going to be moved to obey Him. We're going to be grateful for what He's done for us. If we have faith in God, we're going to trust Him. We believe His promises. We believe that we have a future, and that's where hope, endurance is inspired by hope. If we don't believe we have a future, and a future that lasts into eternity, then a lot of what we're doing is just wasted effort and wasted time. But this church was motivated. They believed that the gospel was good news. And when you believe something is good news, you're going to share it. That's a natural thing that's done. And so we want to do the same thing. We want to also be, I think about where I want Northeast to be and where we want to go in the future. They were a model church. I want to be a model church. I want to be a model church to our community. I believe you want to be a model church to everyone who comes in contact with this place because we're representing Jesus. And I love what he says. You became a model to all believers in the north and in the south. The Lord's message rang out from you. So the song we just sang a minute ago, Ring It Out, that comes straight from this passage. Ring out that message, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God has become known everywhere. They had a reputation. And they did it without social media. They did it without electronics. They did it person to person. They did it one person with one person living Jesus, sharing Jesus, and then that person doing it with another. It amazes me when Paul is talking about them, probably within a couple of years when he was first there, he says, the word is already getting out that the message is coming forth from you. So they were not content just to sit there and just keep house themselves. They reached out to others. And so that brings me to this point. What about our Northeast journey? Where have we been? Our motto, you might say, is that we want to love God and grow deeper and share Jesus. That is a commitment that we have had since I have been here at Northeast, even though when I first arrived at Northeast back in the 20th century, at that point, we were struggling. We were a church of about 100, a little more. We were not supporting any mission works anywhere. I think we may have been giving about $50 a month to Midwestern Children's Home, perhaps, but that was about it. We were a month behind on our mortgage payment. They had just hired me, the only person on staff, because I was cheap and I was desperate for a job. So they hired me, and I would accept anything that they offered. And so that's where we were. But early on, our elders, our shepherds here, made a commitment then into the future to place a priority on doing exactly what Paul's talking about in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, that we want to be a church that rings out the message. And so as the church changed and grew and we had opportunities, we supported a mission work in Hong Kong. I don't think it was that much, maybe $100 a month. But Chuck Forsyth was the missionary that we supported in Hong Kong. Gene Payne ran into him this week, and he sends regards to us. A great work. And then it wasn't until maybe in the early 90s that we took a major step in supporting the work in Thailand, where Patinia is. And that was a big step for us because we made a commitment to support that work. And we are still doing that work, which is so, so important. But that has in part been our journey. And now look where we are today. What are we doing right now today? And that's going to be the focus of what we're going to share today. And Clint Moore is going to share some words with you this morning as well. So I cannot talk about where we are today without talking first about, very briefly, our online presence. It is a gift from God, I believe, truly a gift from God, that we are in the place where we are electronically, in large part because of facing a very difficult circumstance with a pandemic. Those were difficult, challenging times. They still are. But one thing the pandemic did for us, it forced us to do some things that I think we needed to be doing anyway. And I feel like what we are doing electronically online, and this is our YouTube page. If you were to go to our YouTube page right now, you would see everything on this page except this red thing here that says our online presence. I added that. But it is amazing to me to think about the fact that with our website, we had 20,000 visits to our website in 2021 and 60,000 views of pages on our website. We have grown in terms of our YouTube page. I remember when we were wanting to get 80 people to join that YouTube channel, and now we have like 266 people, and it's growing all the time. It's making a difference. We got a letter from someone last year, don't even know who it was, that made a contribution to our online streaming from West Virginia. Alana asked around, does anybody know who this is? Asked the staff, asked the elders, asked others. We don't know who this person is. But they were viewing it in West Virginia and sent a check because they felt like what we were doing was worthwhile. And I will say this, what is happening online with our website and YouTube and other online media, it's making a difference. And we have people here this morning who were here because of the initial contact with what was going on with our website and our media. Can't say enough about that, but really that's not what I want to focus on. I want to talk about our local missions and our international partners. If you go to the website and click on missions, you see this right here, all of these things that we're involved in. Obviously, right now, we can't be as involved in Matthew 25 still because of COVID restrictions. I know right now that trips are not being made to Haiti because of the political and difficult situation there. But here's the good news. Things are getting done in terms of our involvement with what's going on in Haiti, even though we have not been able to take a group there for a while. Over 100 people were baptized into Jesus in Haiti last year. And so our involvement with that ministry and several others as well have made a huge, huge difference. This week, go to your bulletin, you'll see some pictures there from some of our members who served at City Gospel Mission this past week, some members of our youth group. And so we have great opportunities to do great things for the glory of God as a church. And we're partners. We are partners with these ministries and these people, these individuals. We are partners financially with what is going on there, and it makes a huge difference. Paul was being supported by the church at Philippi and the church at Thessalonica and some other places as well. But for Paul, it wasn't just about the financial aspect of what was going on. It was about the personal aspect of what was going on. And to me, what excites me as much or more than anything related to what we do in missions is our personal involvement in missions. Our personal involvement. We have packing events that we pack 30,000 meals for needy children in Haiti. We have members here through the years. Over 100 of our members, past and present, have sponsored children in Hope for Haiti's Children. We are collecting things for boxes for children in Haiti. We are getting involved personally in what is going on. And before Clint gets up here, let me mention one more thing. It's our personal involvement in what's actually going on at those places. I talked to a couple of people this week in these ministries, and as best as we can figure out through the years, Northeast has had over 100, probably close to 110 or more individuals who have actually gone on medical mission trips, teaching trips to Thailand, one time to Thailand, many times to Baja, and several times to Haiti as well. And so that shows that you want to get not, you don't want to just be the kind of people who just give money to a cause, which is good. We have ways for you to get plugged in and involved in hands-on mission work at this church. And that is so, so exciting. We haven't been able to have a trip at Baja for a couple of years, but this year is different. A mission trip to Baja, California, there in Mexico. And Clint is going to talk a little bit about that trip. Why don't you come on up here, Clint, and just give you an overview of what we're doing in Baja, in Mexico. And in future months, we're going to highlight some other things as well about in terms of what we're doing to ring out the message. I'm going to turn things over to Clint, and I'm going to ask you, Clint, just to get us started, why Baja? Why Baja? And let me get your name up there first. There you go. Why Baja? And what's going on right now in terms of the Baja missions?
Got it. Will do.
All right.
Thanks, Grady. Appreciate the elders and the leadership giving me the time and the respect to come up here and talk about this. It's too much to encapsulate in 15 minutes, but I'm going to do my best. So I got lots of pictures because every picture is worth 1,000 words. So every picture, I can say a few things and move on. So I want to open up here with this. It says 2019. We haven't gone, right? 2 years. We've sat on the sidelines. We're ready. We're pumped up. Baja Missions is our parent organization. You can't read it, but there's 19 churches right now in that organizational structure. We have one of the churches that we sponsor here at Northeast in Camalu. We're not working here. Am I not pointing it? There we go. Okay, this is kind of what we look like as a group. Can't really see too much in there, but you might be able to make out some familiar faces. We're a blended team. The churches in the United States that support the effort in Camalu number anywhere from 4, sometimes even 5 different congregations. The reason we have such a corporate model for our support is because Clint and Cheryl and my brother-in-law, Jason and Laura, and sister-in-law, Jason and Laura Couch, we've always seemed to attend middle to low, smaller churches. And so some of the smaller churches can only go so far as financial support. We have been blessed in the last 8 years that we, Cheryl and I, have been here to see that support at Northeast grow. We still have, we've lost some of those churches that were originally there in 2006 when we began. Cheryl and I's first trip to Baja, California was in 2004. My son was a senior in high school, just graduated. My daughter was entering as a junior. we were hooked. We were hooked. The organization is fantastic. The great thing about the organization, Baja Missions, was they let us ride the coattails of another group for 2 years, and then they looked at us and said, "So who are you going to sponsor?" And I went, I don't know. What do you mean, sponsors? So the board of directors, the CEO of the organization, Rex Watson, who has started out of Mayfair Church in Huntsville, he is now at the Brentwood Hills Church in Nashville. He looked at me and said, "I got a guy who wants to partner with another group. What do you think?" So we got started with them in 2006, and this is what we've built. This was basically the church that has come to fruition. You'll see in some of the other pictures, some of the other outside facilities there. But it is risen from the brown earth that is Baja California. You won't see a lot of green unless you go there this time of year. This is their wet season, so you're going to see a lot of flowering plants and a lot of rainfall. Their rainfall is about 3 inches a year, so it is a very arid climate. It's on the Pacific coast, though. One of the great things that really struck out to me was, you'll see in some of these pictures, we're right on the coast. And if you've ever seen the Pacific coast, it's not like the Atlantic coast. I mean, the Pacific coast kind of goes out and it just goes, and it falls off into the ocean. So they don't have the white sandy beaches, but they are just as beautiful in the scenery. Another thing I want to point out with this group shot is that we're intergenerational trip. You can be on this trip. I've taken a gentleman, some of you may know him or known about him. I think he's passed away since the time that we went with the Central Church over in off Bridgetown Road there. What do I want to call that area? North Bend, the North Bend area. The Central Church there, Cheviot, I think is another place. Bob Williams. Bob Williams was an elder at Central, and they're kind of what we started this whole project with before Cheryl and I came over here with Jason and Laura, and JC and Joe, our in-laws from Central. Bob Williams, 78 years old, helped build that church. And Ruth, his wife, kept looking at me going, "Clint, your only job is to keep him off of the roof." You know, so 78-year-old Bob Williams, of course, where was he at? On the roof. So does intergenerational. We like high school students. We like students that are in high school. We like their parents. Because if you've ever gotten, that's what got me started. I took my senior and junior in high school. And they just changed their whole perspective on life. Especially now when they're all looking like this, you know, which is really tough because you got to basically put that down. Okay, where am I at? Got to get going. So let's let the pictures talk. We're into high school kids. We have relationships. One of the biggest things I like about our trip is it's about relationships. It's not about building facilities. Yeah, we had to build a church. Yeah, we had to build a house. Yeah, we had to build a classroom, but it's about the relationships that you forge with the Mexican brothers and sisters there. One of the church members there, and one of the little girls, little niñas, and they will adopt you, and they will not forget you. I mean, it's just amazing. They're just the love that they have. Oops, went too fast. We're, like I said, we're multiple congregations. There's representation from Northeast. Tim Tripp is now at Westwood in Russellville. They are the ones on the right. We have some, there's the Pennsylvania group that we have from North Penn. Some of you may have remembered Dan and Kim Wilson. They are at the North Penn Church. So we're a blended group. Our group size, is, as you can see from the first picture, is about 20 to 25. There is the Baja Peninsula. It is not a part of California. Baja California, it's Baja California Norte, which is north. This is the north half of that. And then they have Baja California Sur, which a lot of you may know about Cabo at the very end. We are roughly, San Diego's right off the top of the map, Tijuana, and then maybe a third of the way down that peninsula is where most of the churches reside. Camalu is towards the southern end of it, but now we have some that actually go all the way down to the border between Baja California Norte and Baja California Sur. So we're spreading south in our logistics of seeing things there. The nice thing about that is because we fly into San Diego. You don't have to have an international flight. You go to San Diego, we get on a bus, and we ride down. That's the Pacific Coast I'm talking about. Basically, it's beautiful. And we drive down from Tijuana. Scenery is fantastic there. Like I said, it's very brown. There's the hotel we stay in. Doesn't look like it's done. That's because it's not. One thing you learn about Mexico is they don't finish their buildings. They basically just keep working on them. And one of the rationales is that as long as the rebar is sticking out of the top, you don't pay property taxes. So a lot of times it's a motivation for them not to finish the job. There's the minister, Juan Jose, and his family. He has two sons. He and Flor have two sons and a daughter. You may remember Samuel. Samuel came here and stayed with Jason and Laura for a while. He's the one in the white t-shirt. Denzel's on the other end in the gray hoodie. And Cassandra is their daughter in the middle, next to Mama. And then Samuel's wife, Alma, and their little baby girl. Little baby girl's a lot older. The pictures are a little dated. She's now probably in first grade. And Samuel and Alma have a little baby boy that just got born in December. Great family. There's somebody you know. Got the old nail or screw or something in his mouth there. Andy is a carpenter extraordinaire, if you don't know. But he's also now very proud to say a psychological nurse graduate. So he's ready to transition to that. But it has a lot of good knowledge, practical skills. We like people with practical skills. It's kind of the construction that we do. It's not that we don't ever do construction. We do construction, but we don't do, I call them hammerhead projects, you know, when you got a team that goes down there from daylight to dark and they just bust it out. We'll do a roof here and there. We'll do we pour a lot of concrete in Mexico because you got a lot of dirt you want to cover up because you don't want that dust always to come in and out of the house. So we're always pouring concrete slabs and pads and floors and so on and so forth. Actually, it's a rather robust picture of Jason Couch there. So yeah, we do wheel some wheelbarrows of concrete around. There's the church facade. We're painting it blue. They have bright colors down there. You ever noticed if it's all brown? You know, they like bright colors. Makes sense. They like colors. So we do a lot of painting, don't we, guys? The people that have been there. There's Andy again, you know, ripping off the gutter board there, putting a new one on the church. Jordan is the one spotting the ladder there. Noah, Jordan. Why is my clicker? There we go. This is a high school project. We do community projects too. We always ask if there's community project. This is a high school building they just built for the expansion for the high school there, local high school, and that's Drew Couch and Noah. They're painting the outside of that new church. So we always try to do community projects there. We're just doing a cleanup behind a preschool. We actually painted the entire preschool too. And it's always cool because the vans all park outside, and then all the parents come to pick up their kids at preschool, and they're like, who are these guys? What are they doing? So it's a great outreach to go out into the community and do these kinds of projects. There's Tim and Noah. We do a lot of furniture, by the way. You can go, well, that's kind of interesting. They don't have IKEA. So we design and build our own tables and what else is bed frames. A lot of mattresses on the floor. You'd be amazed, you give them a bed frame that sits up a foot off the floor. They are happy because that mattress can obviously be kept cleaner. There's a bookshelf. We do a lot of bookshelves. A lot of it is basically because they don't have cabinetry in their homes, so they use the shelving for kitchen utensils. There's a lovely young girl and her grandmother. A lot of extended families down there. The reason this picture is in there is because she almost dropped out of junior high because she had to do the washing for the family. And it was washing in a tray, which is a concrete basin. And then they wash it and then they hang it up. We bought them a washing machine. And so she didn't have to quit school because her job was to do the washing and she couldn't go to school and do the needs of the family. There's Maria, she's a fantastic young lady. She speaks fluent English and is handicapped from birth. And she gets around in that dirt. You see the big, looks like bicycle tires. She gets that thing everywhere up and down the streets. And she's just an amazing individual. And like I said, she's a great asset for us because she speaks fluent English. Some of our group members back there, Jason and the other, the Mr. Jordan there. We do eat well. That's one of the things I always sell. It's not like you go down there and starve. It is, we are well fed. This is the restaurant at the facility, the hotel where we stay. And they because usually when we go in there, we kind of buy out the place, and so they take care of us. And there's a big buffet in the back there of all the Mexican specialties. There's the inside of the church. Dan, you see Doug and Sue there in the back row. I think we've taken about from Northeast. We've taken about 50 some people from this church over the last 10 years or so. A lot of interaction with the teens, big soccer games. And this is my favorite picture. That is Doug Price. And if you look at the shortstop there, Cody Price. You notice there's no grass, it's just a dirt field. They got into is Doug here? Doug orchestrated a Americans versus the Mexican, what we would consider the Baja version of the Cactus League, and they went out there and they crushed it. I think we lost, though. Did we lose or win? We lost, though. It was we had Doug as our ringer. We had Doug as our ringer pitcher, but they had their own ringer. And he was a good pitcher as well. He played in the minor leagues, in the baseball leagues in Mexico. But it was really great fun. The reason I love that picture is because it's about the relationships, guys. It's about going out, going into a new culture, a different culture, and experiencing the realities of that. There's the sunsets. That is, I think, Noah doing a Devo, and the moon up there. There's always a good moon and a sunset. It's just a beautiful place to be. And I'll wrap up there. That's our group. And like I said, it's an awesome opportunity for you in this church to move out of your comfort zone and be in a place where you will be loved and you will love others in a different culture. in a different place. And for some of us, that's something that helped me become a better person and get out of that comfort zone. So I appreciate the opportunity to do this, and I will turn it back over to Grady.
Thank you, Clint.
Can you turn me back on? The website, the wonderful website that we have now, all of the information you need to know about signing up for the trip this July, it's the end of July, is on the website already. The application, the handbook about who Baja Missions is on there. If you want to just give me a call, that's fine too. But everything you need to know now is on the website, and we are going, and it's the end of July. Thank you.
That is definitely exciting. Or if you want to talk to Clint personally, feel free to talk to him personally today after church. Certainly what Jesus said in John chapter 4 is certainly applicable to what we've been talking about today. There in Samaria, as they were looking at these people that were coming from the town, that this woman who finally realized that Jesus is the Messiah because he told her, went to tell others, and they're coming to Jesus. And Jesus says, look at these fields. They are ripe for the harvest. And so I want you to, in terms of what you take away from here this morning, number one, remember that you are a missionary right where you are. And so God is calling you to a unique place, and you have a unique opportunity as a unique person to be able to influence and touch and do things that maybe no one else can. And that doesn't mean that you necessarily have to be a full-time missionary overseas, but there are practical ways that God may be calling you to look at those fields and do what you can in a personal way for that. And I want to close by looking at this passage when Jesus says, ask the Lord of the harvest to send workers into the harvest field. I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves. And that was speaking to the 72 that he sent out, but they were going to face challenges and difficulties, but they had a good mission and they had the good news to share. And this is what ought to keep us motivated. We have the best news ever about the most important matters ever. And so when we want to share Jesus, it doesn't come from an arrogant heart that, you know, we feel we're better than others because we know Christ. Evangelism, in my mind, I love the definition I heard several years ago, is one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. We want to share Jesus because we love people and we believe that people need Christ. And so Jesus said, not long before he ascended to the Father, he said, go to all nations. I want you to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And that is our call today. And so where you may be personally in your life, in your walk, in your relationship with God, you may be ready to take that step. If you believe in Jesus, you're ready to commit your life to him. We are ready to meet with you anytime to take care of that and baptize you into Christ. And if you have any other special needs, please don't hesitate to reach out to us. Isn't it a great honor and a privilege to be able to participate in the greatest work ever? That's our work. And God is calling us to the greatest task and the greatest mission effort. And may God bless us on that journey. Let's stand and sing a song.
A common